Christian Parenting.
Welcome to the Living Wholehearted Podcast. We are Jeff and Tara Mattson, a husband and wife team who is shrinking the integrity gap in our own lives and helping others do the same. I'm a leadership and organizational development coach, and Tara is a licensed marriage and family therapist.
We believe that if you have a following, you are a leader, and how you lead matters. Whether you are leading in the home, work, or community, we are bringing you biblical, clinical, and relational wisdom to help you in every relationship that matters most to you. None of us do this perfectly, but we are leaning into the reality of our humanity and profound wisdom of grace.
There's this pull amongst female leaders, really trying to balance the gifts and steward the talents we have, the visions that God has given us, and also be home. To be home with our families. I work with young leaders who are in their early 20s and they're like, I really want to do this well. I don't want to screw up my kids and have them in therapy. And I'm like, well, therapy's good. But you won't screw them up if you stay present and you live within your limits and your design. And you don't chase after the constant voices around us that you've got to be all, do all, and you need to do it all now. So the idea of having a coach that comes alongside you who helps you understand your design, your story, what is healthy and versus what is toxic, spirituality and relationships. That's what we do here at Living Wholehearted. We want to help you from the inside out. We don't want to pluck weeds. We don't want to be a voice in your life that makes you do more and we get off our calls and then you're like, man, I'm way behind. We want you to feel grace, but also have that accountability and that confidential space to be able to process who you are, the relationships in your life. We have three different ways that you can do this as a female leader. You can jump in with our group coaching calls once a month. It's low bar for you to come in, come out, and we usually cover some sort of specific topic that's unique to female leaders. We also have individual coaching. So you can come along, one of our coaches comes alongside you and we do a very intentional process with you. But we're just that safe person that's going to help you to continue to grow and to lean into, again, more balance and more life, work, joy in your life. The last is our cohort. It's my favorite. And this is a very intentional combination of individual coaching, group coaching, and retreats at our Living Wholehearted Legend Retreat out in the Willamette Valley of Oregon. We'd love to have you learn more at livingwholehearted.com. Crystal Payne is the founder of MoneySavingMom.com, host of the Crystal Payne Show podcast, and a New York Times bestseller author. Her desire is to help women across the globe live with more joy, purpose, and intention in their everyday lives. She lives with her husband and her six kids in Nashville, Tennessee, where she is actively involved in her church and her community. I am so excited to have Crystal on the show again today, as she's shared many tips with us about money and some of her previous books. But today we are talking about a whole new book that is coming, and I am so excited to learn more. I think you're going to be blessed by this conversation. Welcome to have you, Crystal.
I'm so honored to be here. Thank you so much for having me back.
Well, before we always start this way, Crystal, because every leader who's doing anything in a direction or a call that they, an assignment that they've been given, often there's a reason in their story. Sometimes we haven't even stopped to kind of look back and see, how did I get here? But that's what we do at Living Wholehearted. We do a lot of helping leaders really see how their story has aligned with the call for their life, and then the let go of everything else. For you, talk a little bit about your background of your story and how it's influencing what you're doing today.
Well, it's interesting because specifically to this book that I have coming out, when I was writing the book, I started remembering that when I was a young girl, I was about 11 years old, and my grandma passed away really suddenly. She went into the hospital. They thought that something was wrong. They weren't really sure. And they ended up running a lot of tests, found out that she had cancer all throughout her body. And she died about 4 days later. And she was someone who was super involved in her life. We saw her multiple times a week. And so as an 11-year-old girl, this was very, very devastating. And it just helped me to, for the first time, really understand that today is all you get and that we only have one life to live, and how I really want to live in light of eternity and just really thinking about how am I wrapping my time and my life and in my energy around the things that are going to matter the most. And so I feel like that kind of fueled and sparked something in me that set me on this trajectory of really wanting to use my life well. And then fast forward a few years, and at my high school graduation, I gave a speech, and the speech was on time is short. And by the way, I did not give a speech because I was a valedictorian. I gave it because I was homeschooled. And so you got to give a speech at your high school graduation. But my heartbeat was just that every single person who came to that graduation will leave remembering that time is short. And so that is something that, from the time that I have been young, just really been my heartbeat and my passion. And so years later, to get to write this book that really just dives into that has been very just fulfilling for me to write it when I wrote it when I was 40 years old. And so to think of, you know, the life that has been lived since those early days, and how I've continued to just have this heartbeat to help and inspire people to live intentionally.
Mm. I love that even though it's such a hard part of our stories to face, losing someone we love so much, and cancer and all kinds of suffering just steals from us, that even at a young age, you saw that and received it as an opportunity to shape the direction of your life. And sounds like a very young person with some great wisdom to recognize that time is short. Time is short. And we all say that, but do we really live by that, right? So talk a little bit about kind of, you gave a speech in high school, homeschooled high school, but it tells me a little bit about you, right? You're a leader. You've written books, you're in a podcast, you have a whole organization. So you've been a leader from a young age. I'm sure that there's a driver in you and a busyness and a productivity meter that runs in you. Talk about what you've been learning about the difference between hustling hard and productivity, and how that's not the answer.
So for years, I feel like that being a doer and productivity and kind of hitting numbers and goals, that really was something that I used to almost numb pain that I felt. Like I was addicted to busy and productivity. And so behind it, I could say, you know, time is short. I want to use my time effectively. But really, it was something that I was using in a dysfunctional way, like a good thing that then I used in a dysfunctional way. And I just didn't give myself space to breathe or stop or rest, because there was always something to be striving for and pushing for. And quiet would bring up these things that I really needed to work through, but didn't want to process through. And it was 2015. I was launching my third book, and I remember a friend came into town to take me to coffee. They were in town for some different things and sat across the table from me. And the first question that they asked me was, "Crystal, what are you excited about?" And at that point, I was kind of at the peak of my career, in a sense of I was New York Times bestselling author, releasing my third book. I was getting all these media opportunities. The income was so great. I was, you know, being asked to speak all these places. We had hundreds of thousands of followers online. And yet I didn't have an answer for that question, because there wasn't anything that I was really excited about. I was just so tired and exhausted. And yet I didn't really know how to do anything differently. And that really shook me up to think of, why am I doing this? Why am I spending all this time and energy and exhausting myself when I'm not even excited about my life at all? And so that was near the end of 2015. I declared 2016 my year of rest. And I ended up saying no to pretty much every single thing, unless it was an absolute necessity. And the thing that came from that, it took me a few months to kind of be done with all of the yeses that I'd said in the previous year. And so by about April, I remember I was sitting on the couch in our living room, and my life was so quiet. And I was just all jittery and antsy, because I didn't know what to do with myself without so much to do. And it started just set me on this journey of recognizing that there was a lot of unhealth and a lot of dysfunction in my heart, and that productivity had kind of become this idol in my life. And I was able to then go back to my childhood and just really heal from a lot of wounds and just ruts of dysfunction that I had set, and just be on this healing journey. And it was months and months and months. It wasn't like this, you know, oh, in 2 weeks and it was all better. It was really that whole entire year of processing through. And I got into this discipleship program in our church and went through this 9-month intensive, and God just did so much work in my heart. But the biggest thing for me is I recognized that I was had this approval idol, is what we called it, where I was chasing after approval and accolades from others, and ultimately really chasing after approval from God, instead of starting to understand and rest in how much I was loved by Him and living out of that love. And so when I first recognized how pretty much everything that I was doing was chasing after approval, it was this really icky feeling. I don't want to do that, but I don't know how to live outside of that. And so then just started to really examine, where is that coming from? What's at the root of it? And it was very much my false belief of God and my false understanding of really God's love for me. And so when I really started to understand the truth of who I am in Christ and what the gospel of it is finished, and that means that I don't need to do more, be more, try harder in order to attain God's love, but that I am, as Jennifer Dukes-Lee says, pre-approved in Christ. And so to rest in that love, then it just completely changed everything. Like, it completely reframed my perspective so that my work and my family and my friendships and everything that I did was done then from a place of resting in how much I'm loved by God, instead of really working so hard to achieve and attain someone else's approval. And so that's really the heartbeat for me behind the Time Saving Mom. It's not about, you know, producing more or working harder or filling up every single moment of our day. But it's really about resting in, you know, that we are already loved. And so we can live out of that. And so then we can focus around our energy and our time in our life around what matters most. And we don't have to just be all about checking off a to-do list.
You're speaking my language, Crystal. I love it, because our tagline for Courageous Girls, which is our nonprofit arm that walks with moms and daughters, helping them develop relationships, a trusted, safe relationship from second grade all the way through high school. The tagline is rooted in grace. Mm-hmm. Because we teach a lot in the church, not intentionally, but about this performance-based mentality, you know, to be like Christ and do good. I mean, all these messages are biblical, and yet without the right root system, we are trying to water and grow fruit ourselves rather than rooting that in the grace you're speaking of, which is the finished work of Christ, our identity and what He says about us, and not what we need to earn. And out of that is an interesting kind of oxymoron, right? But now you're going to be saving time and being in a way more productive for the right things or the most important things. Instead of spinning, you know, here you are at the peak of your career, and a lot of people would be like, wow, that's so amazing. But maybe they don't recognize always the cost, and the high capacity leaders listening recognize that. They know the cost when you have run the race for a little while and you go, I don't know if this is really what it should be all about or what I want it to be about. So before we start getting into some of the practical tips you give about the time saving, I appreciate so much the heart behind your story, how you got here. Maybe share something about the difference. This might be a tricky question, but the difference between when you were publishing your books and doing all the things from that approval mindset, trying to earn approval, and how it's different now, because you're doing some of the similar things, producing a book, putting that out there to help others. Describe some of those nuances of how this is different and you're not trying to get approval like you were before.
Well, I think that first off, there's just so much more peace in my heart, because it doesn't matter the end result. Like, the numbers, how many copies sell, how well it does, if it hits a list, all those things, that's not what matters to me. It's the message of the book and, you know, just really wanting to help people and make a difference. And, you know, I think one thing that has changed so much is it used to be that I would get up every morning and one of the first things that I did is I would go and I would check all of the numbers everywhere, like all of our social media numbers, all of our traffic numbers, our income numbers. And then my joy or my lack of joy would be dependent upon those numbers. So if it had been a really good day the day before, I would be excited, I'd be pumped up, and I would be like, yes, you know, and just so happy. But if it had been a not a great day and the numbers weren't doing that great and I worked really hard and didn't have a lot to show for it, I would just feel discouraged. And so it was this constant stress over me of like, I have to micromanage and make this happen. And the interesting thing is, so after I went through this whole journey of just really starting to understand how much I'm loved by God and living out of that love, God called us to foster care. And so 2019, we were licensed foster parents, and we'd had 10 years of secondary infertility, and so we didn't think we were going to be able to have biological children. That's the fertility specialist, it said all that and everything. Well, then I found out that I was pregnant, and we started fostering a sweet little baby boy from the NICU. And so 4 weeks before we had our biological daughter, we brought home this little boy from the NICU. And so in 2020, we had two newborns, and I had very little time to work. Like, I was just in the cracks of time. Most of my day was spent just holding a baby and, you know, just speaking words of life to them and loving them and changing them and feeding them and just taking care of the needs of a little infant. And I had never felt so fulfilled as I did in that. And it, you know, it was like, I wasn't even thinking about what was going on with the business. And yes, I was working when I had time to work, but that wasn't my priority anymore. And it was just so cool to see that shift of, you know, I don't have to find my value and my worth in my work. I can find it sitting here with this little baby and just rocking this little baby and knowing that I'm building attachments and I'm speaking life and I'm pouring into this. And this is so important. And the interesting thing was, is that 2020 ended up being our best year business-wise. And it wasn't because I worked super hard or was super strategic. I remember all these other people were like launching these things and doing all these things because COVID, you know, it shut everything down. And so all my friends were doing these series and these podcasts, and I was just over here rocking babies. And yet it was like God said to me, you know what? I don't need you to be doing all the work and working so hard and being strategic and, you know, making things happen in order for your business to be successful. You can trust me and you can do what I've called you to do, and I'll take care of the other things. And so that was just so fulfilling for me, and then also just taught me so much. And since then, I think there's just been so much peace of like, I'll do, you know, work hard when I have the opportunity to, but it's not all dependent upon me. If God wants to bless something, He can bless it without my help.
Such freedom for us, huh? Like at the end of the day, He doesn't need us, but He chooses to partner with us. And what a gift and an honor. And He grows the fruit. And I just love that example of, yeah, your best business year was the year when you really, you couldn't do the same kind of work that you had done years previous. And you got to see that He'll finish what He started. If it's what He wants, He'll make it happen. But hard work is still a good thing for us. And so it's that fine balance. So talk a little bit about some of the things that you've been putting into practice since this journey from 2015. When you think about the mom or the dad, but particularly I know moms are your audience, the mom who is running around with her head cut off. She's got a lot of dreams in her heart. And she's trying her best to get those launched. She's disappointed all the time because she has no time to be able to give that. What are some of these easy to remember 4-step systems that can help her get organized, start simplifying things, that she can have margin to actually dream again and to watch God grow the fruit in her life?
So in the book, I start with talking about four-step system, the first one is to pray. That's, we've talked about that and touched on that a little bit, but I really think starting our days from that posture of reliance upon God. And so what does that actually look like? And I really map that on the book of like, there are many days right now, I have 3 under 3. And so I will not get great sleep at night, but waking up in the morning and just opening up my hands and being like, God, multiply the time that I have, multiply the sleep that I got, multiply the energy that I have for today, because it feels like I just have little crumbs to offer up to you. And so really actually verbalizing our reliance upon God. I think starting from that space, instead of getting up and being frustrated, like, I didn't get enough sleep, I've got so much to do, I don't know how I'm gonna get it all done. And then we're starting from that place of like, it's all dependent upon me. Like, I gotta micromanage and white knuckle my way through life. And that is just a recipe for frustration and stress. And so starting from the posture of prayer and reliance upon God. And then secondly, prioritizing. In the book, I talk about my 6x2 priority system, which is that I have two hands. And so I can hold two priorities well at once. If I add any more priorities than that, things start toppling over. And so instead of looking at my day as just that is the indicator of how I'm doing in my priorities, I look at my week. And so I rotate the priorities that I focus on throughout the week. So 6x2 is I have two hands, hold two priorities, but then I rotate them. So over the course of the week, I have focused on each of my priority areas, my 6 priority areas, at least twice. And so that allows me to show up fully in each of those areas. It allows me to not feel like I need to be all the places and I'm not being all the places. And it also helps me to make sure that I'm intentionally spending time in those areas, because life can get where, you know, there's just so much going on that maybe our marriage gets put on the back burner if we're married. And all of a sudden it's like 6 months go by and we haven't really had a good conversation with our spouse. It's just all been about, will you take this child here? And will you do this? And, you know, and we're not really just investing in our marriage. And so having this priority system has been so helpful to me to make sure that those areas that are what my priorities are, the things that are important, the things that I want to wrap my time and my life and my energy around, they are getting intentional time every single week and hopefully twice a week. So pray, prioritize, and then plan. In the book, I talk about my hybrid planning system, which I use Google Calendar and I use a time block to-do list. So Google Calendar is kind of where I brain dump everything. So for years, I would just always feel like there's so much swirling around in my head and it would just weigh me down. I've got so much to do. And my husband was like, why don't you put it somewhere? Like, why don't you take it out of your head and put it somewhere? And I'm like, but where would I put it? He's like, Google Calendar. And I'm like, I don't do techie stuff. You know me, I'm not techie. I don't do that. And he just kept really gently encouraging me to do that. So finally I was like, okay, I'm going to try it just to prove you wrong. I'm kind of stubborn like that. And so I did it for 3 weeks and it made a huge difference because no longer were all these things swirling around in my head. And I have found that so often it might just be like 9 or 13 things, but because they're all up there just swirling around, like I need to remember that. I need to call that person. I need to do that. I need to do that. It feels like so much more. So when I can take them out of my head and I put them as all day events in Google Calendar, either the next day or if I don't need to know, you know, remember it for 3 weeks from now, I put it 3 weeks from now, just somewhere that it's in the safe place as an all day task in Google Calendar. So I know it's going to come back up and I'm going to see it and I'm going to be reminded of it, but I don't have to carry it in my head. Then the night before when I go to bed, I actually look at my Google Calendar for the next day and I write out a time block to-do list. This is like my budget for my time on paper. And I call it my brain on paper. And I have found, you know, on moneysavingmom.com, I talk so much about how budgeting makes such a difference in our finances. And when we budget our money, we feel like we have more money. The money goes further. Same thing with our time. If we pre-decide our priorities and how we're going to spend our time, and we allow plenty of wiggle room, just like with our budget, allowing fun money, we're going to not only enjoy our life and feel so much more calm, but we're going to feel like we have so much more time and we're going to get so much more done. And so having that time block to-do list has been such a gift. And then I don't have to remember things in my brain. It's taking like taking the clutter out of my head, but putting it in safe places. And then I just follow that plan. And it just helps me to stay on track. And I plan in at least 2 to 4 hours of wiggle rooms because interruptions are going to happen. So I plan for them. And so that's plan. And then the final step is to prep. And this is not only prepping your physical space in your home. Like, how can we set up our space, whether that's, you know, the night before, thinking of what am I going to wear, or what are we going to eat in the morning, or what bag do I need to have set up for us getting out the door? What can I do to set up myself for the next day in the evening and in the morning to set my day up for success? But then also mentally prepping. I feel like so much of our success or failure happens between our two ears. Of so often people are making excuses instead of taking action. I find that so much with grocery budgets. I talk about grocery budgets online, and I'm not even saying like you should have a low grocery budget or you should cut your grocery budget. But just when I'm talking about our grocery budget, people will come out of the woodwork saying, well, we could never do that because we are gluten-free, or we have 3 teenagers, or we live way out in the country, or whatever it is. And I find that so interesting because there's that resistance. And it comes out in the form of excuses instead of saying, what can we do? We just immediately go to, we can't do that. And so just paying attention to in our head, are we saying, I'm not organized. I'm not a morning person. I can't do that. I could never do that. I'm not that type of person. Maybe it is true that you're not really a morning person, or you're not as organized as some people. But if you just stay stuck and tell yourself, this is who I am, this is who I will always be, instead of saying, what can I do? How can I set my day up to be successful, even if I'm not a morning person? And acting as if you are an organized person, often feelings will follow action. And so really mentally prepping yourself to be successful can make such a difference.
I appreciate that, because you basically are creating a skeleton, and then it looks different. The flesh and the skin looks different based on people's wirings and their stage of life. But you're saying these are possible. Let's put up a structure and then have some nuances. I appreciate that you make room for and margin for that and interruptions, especially if you're in the parenting years. But even when you're just trying to lead a large organization, interruptions are just a part of life. Jesus experienced that too. So that's really a great tip in there. And I loved how simple it's Google Calendar. You're not asking people to do anything too techie. But I think this is important, whether you're a mom staying home and trying to do the whole business development for your home, the domestic planning for everything, or you're running an organization and or you're doing both. I will tell you this, time budgeting is the number one issue that steals joy from so many people. And we always feel behind and too busy. And so we're working with CEOs of Fortune 500 companies trying to help them do this very same thing. So don't be discouraged, moms, if you're like, this is really hard. I'm like, yes, it is. But this can determine it's the difference between being able to have more peace of mind and enjoy the moments you have instead of running around with your head cut off. So I love these systems. I do have a clarifying question, Crystal. You said 6 times 2. I got that the 2 was the 2 hands for your 6 priorities. Are those priorities based on each person? Do they get to decide that, or do you have categories for that? Tell me what the 6 was.
Yes. So the 6 are just my 6 priority areas that I focus on. So, so it's just my marriage, my health, which that includes emotional and physical, and then my home, my business, and my friendships and relationships. And there's some overlap in some of those, you know, like we went on a double date with friends the other night. And so I was like, well, that's kind of my marriage and also kind of friendships, relationships. So some days there's some overlap in the priorities, but just really saying these are the areas that I want to wrap my time and my life and my energy around.
Great. So each person can decide that. What are your priorities? But they're kind of the main things. But yeah, when I heard 6, I thought, are those for children? What are those 6? So yeah, I love that. Okay. So our time is wrapping up, but you've already given some really beautiful examples. And I hope that our listeners aren't feeling overwhelmed, but getting more peace and going, this is a guide. This is a guide and a handbook to help you get there. So don't feel discouraged yet. Try 1 or 2 small tips here. So before we close up, give us one of your most favorite pieces of advice that you give that you say, if you don't try anything else besides read your book, what's one thing they can start today?
So one of the things in the back of the book is, because I know you're saying like, it's a lot, and I really didn't want to give someone more to-dos. It's like, you don't need more to-dos. And so I did a 7-week plan at the back of the book to kind of walk you through each of these areas and kind of help you. So you're going to add one thing at a time. But one of the things I didn't talk about that is included in the book that has made such a difference for me is having a habit tracker. I love James Clear, his book, Atomic Habits, but I wanted to really bring that into a way that could work for women and for moms. I feel like there are a lot of great time management books that are written, but written by men or written by people who just really don't get what it's like in the trenches. And, you know, I wrote this book in the middle of morning, noon, and night sickness with our sixth child while we had 2 toddlers and 3 teenagers. And so it was very much written in the trenches, not theoretical. But my habit tracker is something that's been so helpful to me. And I think if you, you know, just need like one area to start with, this can kind of cover a lot of different areas. So I just encourage people to start with 2 or 3 habits. These are things that you're like, this is going to make a big difference in my life if I do this consistently. Maybe that's getting up by a certain time. Maybe that's exercising for 15 minutes every morning. Maybe that's, you know, eating a salad every day. Maybe that's getting a certain amount of hours of sleep or going to bed by a certain time or making your bed every morning or doing a load of laundry from start to finish, whatever it is, wherever you are in your season of life, but figuring out those few things you're like, I want to consistently do this. And so then I just created a very simple habit tracker on Numbers. I have at the back of the book, there's some downloads, but you can also go online and just Google habit trackers. There's plenty of them out there, or on my site, moneysavingmom.com, I have some free downloads as well. But it's just a simple, like just numbers, little sheet that I made that is printable that has the days of the week, and then the habits that I want to do. And I actually have 11 habits now because I've been doing this for a while. So I add more, you know, I've been able to add more habits, but just simple things, but that make such a difference for me. And having it on that tracker that I keep with me throughout the day as just a reminder, these are the areas that I'm focusing on. It encourages me so much, you know, to be able to check the box, but also at a glance, I'm able to see, a few weeks ago, I had where just I was kind of feeling just off and just that stress and tension in me and just feeling irritable. And I was like, what's going on? Then I looked at my habit tracker and I realized for 3 nights in a row, I hadn't gotten good sleep because one of the things on there is to get 7 hours of sleep. And I hadn't gotten 7 hours of sleep for 3 nights in a row. And so I was like, that is affecting me. And so I need to prioritize sleep this weekend. And I did. And then I felt so much better. And so this just allows me to see at a glance, like, how am I doing in these areas that are important to me? And the thing that is cool about it also is once I've consistently had it on my habit tracker and I'm checking it off, over time, it truly becomes a habit. And then I get to bump that off of my habit tracker and add something new because it's become something that I just do without thinking. The other thing with my habit tracker is that I say success is 5 check marks in a week, not 7. And I always just aim for what is realistic instead of, you know, perfection. And that really helps me. So if I hit each area 5 times, I am calling that a huge win. I don't ever hit pretty much all 5 days for every single area, but I'm working towards it and it just helps me to stay on task.
I love it. I hear you saying, yeah, focus on the successes, and it helps us remember when we look back and go, oh, look at what you're doing, God. And we're moving towards experiences actually are what changes our mindset and our neuropathways. So these habits are really changing our brain and helping us to move toward getting our bodies caught up to where our mind and our spirit wants to go. And so it's hard to be, it's some people are thinking, gosh, you're really disciplined, Crystal. But I, from years of doing the same work and walking with so many others, I just want to encourage you. It's not that it comes from discipline. It comes from intentionality and the grace to say, just because I messed up this week, I'm not going to throw it out, throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'm going to keep moving, and I'm going to let God use the little loaves and fishes you can give and multiply it. I loved that prayer earlier. Multiply what I give, what I can do, and celebrate it versus that shame language of like, you suck, and throw it all out the door. So being able to move forward with such courage and practical steps. I love this book. I think it's a much needed book. So tell our listeners, where can they get it and where can they find you?
Yes. Yeah, so if you are interested in great deals and ways to use your finances intentionally, moneysavingmom.com is my site. We share lots and lots of deals there, as well as just money saving tips and encouragement. And then I love Instagram and I'm very active there. My handle is The Money Saving Mom. So not just Money Saving Mom, The Money Saving Mom. And I share a lot of just behind the scenes of what it's like of having six kids and working from home and just encouragement for people to love their life and live with intention. And then my husband and I also have a podcast called The Crystal Payne Show, where we just share encouragement and inspiration, and then get to have some authors and other people on that we just really appreciate their work and just get to share from them. And so that's The Crystal Payne Show. And the book is available wherever books are sold. I think still the best deal is from Baker Bookhouse. It's significantly cheaper than Amazon. And so I'm all about getting you the best deal. So if you want to get a copy, Baker Bookhouse, or I think christianbook.com, it's also a good deal there.
I love it. Oh, I love it. Always trying to save us a penny. I love it. And time-saving mom, being able to not just get into good habits, but actually to reshift your roots and your understanding and your motives of why you do what you do, and to live in rest and in grace. That's the message coming from time-saving mom. So you can pick that up with Crystal Payne. Crystal, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was an honor.
And if you are looking for some coaching, that's what we do. We come alongside you as executive coaches, as high capacity leaders. Check out more at livingwholehearted.com. And then sometimes there's just these parts of our story that are running major interference. And that's what our professional counseling team is doing, is we're coming in and we're pulling out those shame roots and really trying to help change that brain to catch you up, to integrate your mind, your body, your heart, your soul, and all that you're doing. And so this book is such a great resource, and sometimes we just need some other people to help hold us accountable, as Crystal was sharing about going through that 9-month program through her church. There are so many resources, so don't do this alone, and know that it's okay to get help. In fact, that's number one place of grace, is to know, to recognize our need, and then to ask for help, not only from God, but from one another. So thanks for joining us, and we look forward to connecting with you next week.
This podcast is powered by Living Wholehearted, Courageous Girls, and the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Thank you for joining us in this critical movement of shrinking our integrity gaps between what we preach and live.